Go with me, if you would, now to Matthew 1 again. Matthew chapter 1, and let's read verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a glorious verse that is. A moment ago in our Bible study, we looked at who the saved are, who the saved people are, who it is exactly that Christ came into this world to save. And we saw that it was, as verse 21 says, his people. That's who it was. It was his people, those that God the Father gave to Christ. A particular people. Those that God the Father sent Christ to accomplish the work for. God the Father sent his Son on purpose to accomplish a work on purpose for a particular people on purpose. And that's what Christ did. It was all those that God the Father covered in the blood of his own Son. That's who Christ came to save. And we saw that every one of those people in the flesh, in their own deeds and in their own life before God, every one of them were and are sinners. All sinners, all of them, absolute sinners before God, through and through. And I mean true sinners. I mean true sinners. I've thought so many times that God's people are constantly asking themselves, why me? Why me? Why would God save me? I tell you why. It's because I was the worst. That's who he came to save. You know, some would die for a man who's not so bad. Some would die for a good man, but God died for me. Ungodly. Ungodly. Absolute sinners before God. That's who Christ came to save. And that's the glorious news of the gospel. That's the reason for the gospel, and that's the message of the gospel. Christ came to save his people from their sins, from all their sins. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, in the Bible study, we focused on the sinners. That's who we mainly focused on. In this message, I'd like for us to focus on the Savior of sinners. The title of the Bible study was, That's Who the Saved Are. That's what I titled the Bible study. That's who the saved are. The title of this message is, That's Who the Savior Is. All right, that's who the Savior is. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ together this morning. We and everyone talks about him. All right, we talk about him. We say that he came to save his people. We say that. A lot of people say that. A lot of people know that. The whole world knows his name. The whole world knows his name. The whole world knows of his coming. Now, the whole world may not believe it, but they all know what is told of how he came. People know that. The Apostle Paul said, have they not all heard? And they have. They have. This man, his name, has gone out into all the world. men and women know about His mysterious birth. Again, they may or may not believe it, but they know about His mysterious birth, the mysterious conception. And the humble, even disgraceful, absolutely disgraceful place that He was born. You know where He was born? A barn. That's where He was born. A barn. And they know how, because there was no other place to lay Him, they laid Him in an animal feeding trough. They laid Him in a slop trough of some kind. You know, you think of a manger and it sounds like some plush little... It was a slop trough. It was an animal's feeding trough. Those things are nasty. He entered into this world in a way that was shameful, really. He was born to a woman who was not married. Born in an environment that no one would want their baby to be born in. No one. Everyone knows about this. Everybody knows about this. People set up memorial scenes of this in their front yards. It's called nativity scenes. But even though the world knows about Him, I'm afraid that many, many people in this world do not really know who He is. Everybody knows about Him. Everybody knows His story. But I'm afraid that there are quite a few people who don't really know who He is. They think they know who He is. But for that reason this morning, I want us to look at who He really is. I mean who He really is. Who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. Someone came. Who is it really that came? Really. Someone saved. Who is it really that saved? His name is Jesus Christ. Well, who is Jesus Christ really? Who is He really? Who is this Savior? Who is this Savior? Verse 1 in this chapter immediately begins describing Him to us. Verse 1 says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, who was the son of Abraham." Now that sounds like it's saying David had Abraham had a great, 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 great grandson named David. And he did. And then that sounds like it's saying David had a great, 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 great grandson named Jesus. Jesus Christ. But here's the question. And he did. But here's the question. Is that really all that that's saying? Look with me at Matthew 22. Turn with me over there to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, verse 41, it says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What think ye of Christ?'" This is the question. This right here is the question. All right, now really think about what the Lord Jesus Christ is asking. He said in verse 42, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" That's what people think about him. When you hear the name Jesus Christ, that's what the flesh thinks about him. The flesh thinks he's somebody's son. That's what the flesh thinks. He's somebody's son. You know, you think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you think of grandfather, son, and grandson. But Abraham is somebody's son, too. But when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what your mind goes to. He's somebody's son. All right, so verse 42, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord?" He said, he's about to quote Psalm 110. He said, "Why then, if you're saying he's the son of David, why then did David call him Lord? Why did he pray to him, calling upon his Lord? Saying, verse 44, "The Lord said unto my Lord." That means Jehovah said to Jesus Christ, "Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." He said, if David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither did any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. This is not just David's son. Did he come in the line of David's sons? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But this is not merely David's son. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Verse 16, he said, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel," that means messenger, "to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." What is he saying right there? This is what he's saying. I made David. David didn't make me. I made David. I'm David's maker. And I made myself to be David's son. I made David. And I made myself to be David's son. I made myself to be in the likeness of David's sinful flesh. He made himself to be the son of David, the son of Abraham. Our Lord said to some Pharisees in John chapter 8, he said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." He plainly told them that. He said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And they said, "You're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham?" He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Don't you love how he said that? He didn't say, "I was." Before Abraham was, I was. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am. I'm Abraham's God. I made Abraham. And I loved Abraham. And I made a covenant with my father concerning Abraham and his seed." Not seeds, which is many, but seed, which is Christ. "I didn't take on the nature of fallen angels," he said in Hebrews 2. The angels fell, man fell, and the angels fell. But he said, "I didn't take on the nature of the fallen angels." They're fallen. But he said, "I did take upon myself the likeness of the fallen seed of Abraham. I made myself to be born of a woman. Made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. That's who this is. That's who the Savior who came is. He said right here in verse 16, Revelation 22, verse 16, I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star. I'm the bright star that, you know, the bright star is the high noon sun that just beats down on you. Just beats down on the earth, judging the earth. He said, I'm the bright star. And he said, I'm the morning star. I'm that beautiful sunrise that comes up. You know, the sun at high noon, you can't look into the face of the high noon sun. But early in the morning when it's just coming up, you can behold all of his beauty. That sun, the lower that sun gets to the earth, you know, as it's touching the earth, you can just look right at the glorious and the beauty. Same sun. But he said, I'm that morning sun that rises with warmth and healing in its wings. I am the, here's what he's saying, I am the just God and I am the Savior. I am the judge of man and I am the justifier of man. Now that's who came. That's who was laying in that manger. Abraham's maker was laying there. David's maker was laying there. Mary, this Virgin Mary, her maker was laying there. She delivered her maker. The I am was laying there. Can somebody please come up here and explain that to me? You believe that? 1 Timothy 3:16, don't turn. It says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God, not God's son, not God's helper. God, there is only one God in heaven. There's not two, it's not three. There is only one God in heaven, and that one God, that very God, was manifest in the flesh. All I can do is declare it. The Lord has given me faith to believe it. I believe what I'm telling you and just declare it. But that is so amazing. The very God. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7. This is the sign of the promise that was given concerning Christ's coming. This was the sign that was given of the promise of his coming. Isaiah 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's the sign. That's how you can know who it is. That's the sign of his coming. All right, and this was the announcement of who exactly was coming. That's the announcement that, here's how you can know he's coming. And this is the announcement of who it is that was coming. Look at chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, if you look at the top of my page in my Bible, it says the church's joy in Christ's birth and kingdom. This is talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, declaring who is coming. Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This child, this son that was to be conceived in a virgin and born in a barn and laid in an animal's feeding trough. Who was this? Who is this child? Verse 6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Now, if there's any doubt of who we're talking about, keep reading. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That child was God Almighty. That child was the Everlasting Father. And that child was the Prince of Peace. God is one God. All the fullness of the Godhead. God is three persons. And all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in that child that was laying there. What that means is, and this is when I was writing these notes out, I was just rejoicing in. This is what it means. This is what that means. It means God Himself is the one who came and saved His people. God Himself, not a God, and not one of the gods. There's only one God. God Himself is the one who came to redeem His people. God Himself is the one who came to give His life and to shed His blood and to die for His people. God Himself. I could quote this to you, but I want you to read it with your own two eyes. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says, Acts 20, 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. He said, God purchased His church. God purchased His people with His own blood. God shed His own blood. A moment ago, we sang, and this is for anybody who needs it. A moment ago, we sang, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. God's veins. God's very own veins. And every sinner plunged beneath that flood loses all his guilty stains. God is the one who made Himself to be in the likeness of sinful flesh. And in that flesh, God is the one who laid the sin of all of His people upon Himself. And with that sin covering Him, God is the very one who hung Himself on the cross and died as the substitute of His people. That's special. That is so special. He is the very one who died in order to save the life of His people. He is the very one who gave Himself to save His people from their sins. Now that is what the true hope of salvation is built on. That's what the true hope is built on. That is how you can know that the one who came to accomplish salvation accomplished it. That's how you can know. God Himself was the Savior who came. And knowing that is what brings absolute assurance to God's people. That's what brings absolute assurance. Go back to our text one more time. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And if you have a center margin in your Bible, you see that that name means Savior. That's what Jesus means. That's the name. Savior. "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Shall means shall. That's what it means. That means on purpose, successfully. It doesn't say he will attempt to save his people. I tell you what, God has a wonderful plan for your life as long as you cooperate and the devil doesn't mess it up. Call his name Jesus, for he shall. I mean shall. This is God Almighty we're talking about. He didn't start it hoping you'll finish it. He shall save his people from their sins. Period. Period. Verse 22 says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." That's who the Savior is. That's who the Savior is. Now, here's my final question. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad. So glad. May the Lord bless that word to our hearts.